Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. It is a beautiful Thursday afternoon here in New Mexico, April the 17th, and I am really honored that you have chosen to spend your afternoon with me here live on the air. I am one of over 20 coaches here on Life Coach Radio who come to you live almost every day of the week on one of our three radio stations, Life Coach Radio Network, which you are listening to me on right now, International Life Coach Radio Network, and the Life Coach Radio Network chat channel. And we just love to bring shows to you every day to inspire and challenge and connect you with the world around you and kind of what's going on in our communities and in our lives. And I am the Walk Your Talk coach and CEO of La Dolce Vita Coaching. And my vision and my purpose is to really raise awareness around the area of the adoption, the tapestry of adoption, as I like to call it. And I do work with those within the tapestry of adoption, really helping them to find the missing thread in their stories and weave together a legacy of a lifetime and healthy relationships, really building those bridges instead of walls in all of their relationships. And an incredible privilege to be able to do that on a daily basis in my world. I come to you live from Los Alamos, New Mexico, and I am joined today by a fellow New Mexican that many of you are very familiar with if you at all have a TV set in your home and tune in to our local radio stations and watch the weather. I am very privileged today to be joined by Mr. Steve Stucker. He is an ambassador of New Mexico, I like to call him. He is a local weatherman here in our town, and he's very well known throughout New Mexico for his community involvement. He works with dozens of nonprofit groups, schools, and churches. He's also highly sought after as a motivational speaker for civic organizations, church groups, graduations, corporate events, you name it, he's done it. He is also very involved in a youth diagnostic detention center here where he's a mentor and a teacher, counseling, encouraging youthful offenders. He also speaks to adult inmates at state prisons about changing their lives. And so welcome, Steve, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network.
Thank you, Leanne. I'm excited to be with you this afternoon.
Well, I am very excited to be here with you as well. You know, you will not remember me at all, but I did have the privilege of meeting you at the Balloon Fiesta a couple of years ago. I saw you in your very cool white jacket and your outrageously fun hat that you wear as you were going live on air broadcasting from the Balloon Fiesta. And, you know, very fond memory of the energy that you bring to the Balloon Fiesta and your love for it and for the people of New Mexico.
Balloon Fiesta is such a wonderful event, unique to the Albuquerque area, and I always laugh when people say, we met at Balloon Fiesta, like you just did, because I literally meet tens of thousands of people every year there, and it is so much fun, but it is just a nine-day blur from start to finish, and most of the time I'm combining conversations with people that I've just met and taking photographs with people for their collections and their family and friend while I'm simultaneously broadcasting live on KOB. So it's a pretty crazy stretch of my life, but boy, do I love it. It's just such a great time.
It's very obvious that you love it and that you enjoy it, and I don't know how you do it, doing all that you do at the Balloon Fiesta and broadcasting live. You are like Johnny on your game out there, and you really do make it an incredible experience for everybody who is there. And so thank you for the work that you do with Balloon Fiesta.
It's my pleasure. You know, it's to me, the Balloon Fiesta is just the great equalizer. It doesn't matter what your age or experience is. the first couple of times you're out there, you're going to act like a 9-year-old. You're just mesmerized by the colors and the wonder and the combination of science and technology with nature and people from all over the world. And it's just a great microcosm of our humanity. And gosh, I just have a blast out there.
Fantastic. How many years have you been doing the Balloon Fiesta, Steve?
You know, I think it's a little over 25 years. I was out there for a couple of years as a media volunteer before I started working at KOB, and I'm coming up on my 24th anniversary so at the TV station now. So it's been something like 24, 25, maybe 26 years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, congratulations, not only for your steadfastness at the Balloon Fiesta, but for your amazing long stretch in at KOB. That's pretty amazing. And you don't hear that often anymore. Oftentimes you hear about people hopping around different places and trying out new stations or new avenues to pursue their dreams and do something different.
Yeah. I did that for a good chunk of my career. When I was younger, I was in radio for 15 years before this position, and you do in this industry tend to have to move around a lot to better yourself. But quite a long time ago, when I got into this position here in New Mexico, my wife and I just decided that we were going to do our best to just plug in here, to put our roots down, and to stay here no matter what, even if that meant that I might need to go take a job behind the counter at a McDonald's or something like that. I always tell people I'm practicing for my next career. Would you like fries with that? We have just, you know, decided that the combination of the weather and the people and the ability that I have to do ministry and community involvement here in New Mexico has just made it a place where we are comfortable in raising our family, and God has just given us great blessings and really shown me his favor here. And until he makes it clear that I'm supposed to go somewhere else, I plan to stay here, and I hope they'll let me.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, what I really hear coming through in what you're saying is just a real commitment to New Mexico and to the people of New Mexico, the community of Albuquerque and beyond the walls there as well. And if I remember correctly, your lovely wife's name is Rose. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And we're both,
shout out to Rose. Yeah.
Thank you. We're both Midwesterners by birth. I've been out here 30 years, and she's been here about 21, 22 years now. And gosh, we just love it. You know, it's not a perfect place. We have a lot of issues in our community, a lot of things to deal with that need work, but we just pinch ourselves that we're able to live here and make a living here and hopefully contribute to make a difference in the way that it is for others to live here too while we're here.
Absolutely. Well, I think the ripple effect of your commitment here in the New Mexico, the state of New Mexico, is very obvious in the work that you currently do. So, you know, thank you for your contributions. You do make New Mexico a better place for all of us. And I would love it if you could share a little bit with our listeners and with me one of your passions. You have so many, Steve, within the state and things that you are currently involved in. And so if I were to reach my hand into the hat of your levels of involvement into the activities that you're in, which one do you want me to pull out first to bring awareness to our listeners today?
Well, I mean, for me, at this stage in my life, I think that everything pretty much revolves around my family and my ministry efforts. I became ordained as a pastor a couple of years ago after going through about 4 years of study for that. I've been a, an ordained chaplain through the International Fellowship of Chaplains for about 4 or 5 years now. And I do all kinds of things in the community, a ton of things that are secular in nature, but almost everything has some connection to my ties with ministry and my desire to share some of what God has given me while I continue on this journey and as he continues to guide me and to teach me as I go along.
Oh, that's super cool. And how appropriate and fun that we can talk about that on this week of Easter here coming up on Sunday that, you know, we're privileged to share Monday, Thursday together here on the air and be able to, you know, talk a little bit about God and his purposes and why he came and why he has a mission for each one of us right here on earth and about how you are totally walking your talk in that arena, Steve. You know, that's the kind of folks I love to have on my show, and I've really been had the privilege of bearing witness to some of the ministries that you are currently involved in. You know, I love watching your Facebook page pop up, and I love seeing your devotions that you put out for those of us who choose to read and spend time in that space with you. Just super cool. And, you know, I've learned a little bit about you and your passion for your God and for your community. And I know one of the passions that you hold very near to your heart is in the arena of youth in this community, primarily youth in detention. And what can you tell us? You know, when I do some research, I'm struck by the staggering statistics of the number of youth that are in detention. You know, over 70,000 youth are in detention right now. And what is, you know, what's being done for these youth? And, yeah, go ahead and share with us a little bit about what you see here in Albuquerque.
Well, I go to a number of facilities. I've currently, for the past couple of years, I go every week to a facility known as YDDC, Youth Diagnostic and Detention Center, and this is a long-term facility for young men between the ages of 12 and 21 who have gotten what's called a commitment. It's a minimum of a 1 to 2 year sentence, and in some cases for more serious crimes, they may be incarcerated all the way up to the age of 21. So I guess for lack of a better term, you could say that these are more of the hardcore kids. For the first 5 years that I was involved in this type of ministry, I went to a short-term facility run by the county. The kids call it the D-Home because nobody can remember all the letters. It's the Bernalillo County Detention Center. And that would be a situation where boys may be there anywhere from 2-3 days, 2-3 weeks, to up to a year while their sentence is being adjudicated. And, you know, as far as what's being done, I would say it's kind of a combination of a lot being done and absolutely nothing being done. It's a real tough situation. It's a very deeply involved problem that has a lot of roots. And there are tons of people who really put their heart and their soul into it, both as volunteers like I do and those whose profession takes them into those facilities, either as social workers or corrections officers or management. A lot of the doctors and nurses and counselors and psychiatrists are involved in that field. So there's a lot going on. It's constantly moving and changing, and I think that there are some really good things happening, but truth is it's sort of an overwhelming problem that is never going to get fixed until we really start to get out in front of the problem and deal with the root causes for these young men being in lockup in the first place.
Absolutely. And so in your opinion, Steve, what is one of the biggest challenges to getting in front of this problem?
Well, I'm a very optimistic person by nature, but this is a tough one. And the root of the problem is the sinful nature of our society and the disintegration of the family, per se. When I meet with a new group of kids over at the D home, they would typically be about 15 of them in a unit, and I would come in and introduce myself and get to know them, and I would always ask right up front, how many of you guys grew up in a home without a father figure, or maybe don't even know who your father is? And every single time, Leanne, a minimum of 12 hands would go up. And I would say, and, you know, I've told the story so many times, but as I explain this to you again, it almost brings me to tears, because I would say, and how many of you are angry about that? And those same hands would go up even higher. And that's where we start. We start with homes that are broken, that are shattered, that are not set up as God designed them to be, with a mother and a father intact. And these kids are left to their own devices in a lot of cases. And a lot of these moms do as much as they can. But there's a good number of them that do very little even. The past several years, I'm running into more and more boys that when I ask them the questions about the absent fathers, afterwards one of them will say, well, what if you grew up without a mom? Does that count? Yeah, that counts. Raise your hand too. So, wow. You know, it's a generational thing. It's endemic throughout our community. I don't think that Albuquerque or New Mexico is unique in this. I think it happens around the country. And we need, when I say get out in front of the problem, I think the key is getting involved in both secular and faith-based programs that are designed to get to the younger kids, into the schools, into programs like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, perhaps through scouting. Maybe it can even be something like coaching a sports team or starting something for kids in your neighborhood. And, you know, my focus is on young men, but there's just about as big a need for young girls, girls that grow up in homes without fathers, in single-parent families or with their fathers when the mother is absent, struggle just as badly. And there is just an incredible need in our community for people to get out and to do something to integrate themselves into the lives of these young people, preferably before they get into trouble and end up in a situation in lockup.
Absolutely, because once they get there, right, the issues and the different struggles and challenges that they face are compounded. And so that early intervention, right, is pretty key, because the disintegration of family is huge. It's been going on since the beginning of time. We can look back to, you know, creation and, you know, creation forward and see how that has played out, and then the ripple effect that the disintegration of family has had on our culture and ultimately, you know, our families, the challenges that we each face every day. And, you know, I just got back, Steve, from San Francisco. I was out there for a week at the American Adoption Congress International Convention. And this is the first time in my life that I have been able to be surrounded by so many people all in one room whose lives have been intimately touched by the heart of adoption. I was hanging out with adoptees, birth moms, and adoptive parents, birth dads, and aunts, uncles, grandparents, all of them whose life has been touched by the tapestry of adoption. And I was very, very struck by the degree of grief and loss that had happened just because of this situation, right, disintegration of family, different choices that have been made, different challenges that each person had faced due to the choices that they were either forced to make, right, or that choices were made for them. And,
right,
you know, how many of them you know, having that separation from their family at any level, whether it be an incarceration, whether it be because the choice was made for them, right, to make an adoption plan or whatever it was in their life, that degree of loss has a tremendous effect on them as they view life. And the ripple effect and the generational effect of that, right, it continues on.
And oh, yeah.
So as you know, and the statistics that we hear about children who have come from a situation such as adoption or in a foster care situation, they are much more likely to end up in a detention center or with a drug and alcohol problem than those who, that wasn't their story.
Oh, yeah.
So,
so it's a big thing. Big thing.
Okay. And so what is one of the challenges, you know, when the hands go up, and that's such a high percentage of folks that don't even know their dad or mom, and they've kind of grown up in a situation where there's been secrets or lack of information for them, that impact on them is pretty huge. And
go ahead. I'm sorry, I was just going to say we try to use that as sort of a starting point that, okay, well, you know, look, all of us in this room have a lot in common. And one other thing that we have in common is that we do have a Father in heaven and that he loves us and he cares about us. Now, a lot of these kids, because they've never had a loving human father, have a hard time with that and they can't really picture it. But that's our starting point, letting them know that it's okay to be hurt. It's okay even to be angry. But how we deal with that anger and what we do with that hurt is really going to have a large effect on the rest of our life. And if we can learn to channel this in the right way, to take our energies and to do something positive with it, to break this chain that has perhaps been going on for generations in your family, then we can start to make a difference. Some of these boys have very hateful feelings towards the men who are absent, and we start with helping them to realize, you know what, they might have been raised in the same kind of a situation and never knew their fathers either. So let's kind of try to put our anger and frustration with them aside for a little bit, and let's start to work on ourselves and see how we might be able to change our outlook, our approach in this world, so that when it comes time for us to be fathers, that we can be the kind of dads that we wish we would have had. And we can see the boys lighting up. It takes some time, and not everybody gets it at the same step along the way, but that's our basic starting point with each of these groups. And a lot of these kids, because they haven't had father figures, they don't know what being a good man means. They don't really have any good examples to look to. Many of them come from impoverished areas, gang backgrounds, although more and more we're getting kids in from middle class and upper class families whose fathers are still absent or whose mothers are not around to really bring them up in the way that would be ideal. But helping these kids to get an idea on who they are, what is possible in their lives, and how they can begin to take the steps to attain that is pretty much where we start with them.
Absolutely. Wow, that is beautiful. And you just did such a great job of explaining that in such a way that all of us can really understand. And I'm sure as our listeners are tuning in and really leaning their heart in and listening to you, you know, they're kind of being poked as I am. It's like, well, what can I do? Right? What contribution can I make to this situation? Because the youth, this is the future of our country, is this next generation, and really helping to empower them to understand that they are of choice, that they do have a choice on how they're going to show up from today forward, and to really give them the skills to start to embrace a new perspective on their life and, you know, on their past situations is a key role. And so as, you know, as a volunteer, you share that you volunteer your time doing this. What kind of training were you allowed to go through to help prepare you for the challenges that you would face in working with these youth?
Well, I chuckle when you use the term that, you know, we're being poked, because that's exactly what happened. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. I heard an announcement at church several times, repeatedly, as a matter of fact, over 2 years before I finally responded. Because right away I kind of thought, wow, that sounds interesting. I don't know what I would need to do. I was never in lockup, but I don't know if I would be qualified for that or not, but something was poking at me. And eventually I took the hand and I followed the footsteps to go see what it was all about. Now, here in Albuquerque, we have an organization known as LifeQuest. It's a nonprofit that is faith-based and takes volunteers from around the community, men and women, to do a variety of things. Not everybody is comfortable in going into a lockup facility. They're just miniature jails or prisons. I mean, there's barbed wire and steel doors and guards, and it's not a situation that everybody is comfortable in going into. But there are still a lot of ways that you can help. And one of the simplest ways is that people can always be financial contributors to groups like LifeQuest, which is the big organization that I work through. And they take volunteers and train them. They work in coordination with all the different state-run, county-run facilities, and we send people in on a regular basis to do a variety of things. When I go in on Tuesday nights with this group of men that I attend with every week, and there's usually about 8 to 12 of us that go in, we spread out throughout the facility. We go to the same cottage every week so that we can develop ongoing relationships with these young men. And when we go in, we do what's basically called a Bible study. We'll take a small segment of the scripture and we'll read it and talk about it and try to help the guys understand how to begin to apply that in their lives. But there are other opportunities available. These men in lockup and the women need mentors. We have other people that go in on Saturdays or Thursdays, and they spend time one-on-one with some of these young men, helping them to prepare for what they're going to do when they get out. The biggest challenge when these kids get out is to stay out. The recidivism, right, the return rate is just huge. These kids get out, they go back into the same place, the same neighborhoods, the same friends, and the same habits quickly emerge, and boom, they're back before you know it. And so we mentor these young men and try to spend some time and to be an example and to be an ear for them to share with, to be available. Now, our program is designed to continue once they get out. And so that's another opportunity. We need adult volunteers to mentor on the outs, as the kids call it, because they get out, they leave with all these hopes and dreams, but reality sets in, and it can be difficult. A lot of them don't have the life skills necessary for the very basics. They don't know how to read a bus schedule. They don't know how to get a driver's license, how to cash a check if they do get a job. They don't know how to fill out a job application or how to dress or what to say. And so all of these things that a lot of us take for granted that we've learned from our families or through our schooling are totally foreign to these young people. And so through groups, and I mentioned LifeQuest because that's the big one that I work through, but it's just one of many. And through those organizations or others, and like I mentioned, secular groups like Big Brothers, anybody listening can make a difference. I interviewed with the recruitment director for Big Brothers a couple of months ago, and it breaks my heart. In Albuquerque, Leanne, for an 8-year-old boy whose father has died, who wants a mentor, a big brother, an older man that can be a brother or an uncle or a father figure to him. The waiting list is between 16 months and 2 years. And that's lifetime.
Wow.
It's a lifetime for
those kids.
That is
a lifetime when you're eight. Absolutely.
You know, I through my Facebook ministries have met so many young moms who are widowed or are divorced and raising young kids by themselves, and it's just tragic. So, you know, writing a check, being a financial supporter, being a prayerful supporter, getting out and getting your hands dirty, and you know the thing is that it's fun to do. I will admit, there are weeks, there are Tuesday nights when I'm tired and I'm worn out and I don't want to go. but every time that happens, I come home just singing the praises and being so happy that I went, because I end up getting as much out of it, if not more, than the kids do. And it's really a great feeling. And, you know, and it's not magic. It's not like we walk in and they run over and, hey, what can I learn? It's tough. These kids have been through the ringer. They've been lied to. They've been disappointed. They don't generally trust adults because a lot of their experiences have been extremely negative. It takes some time. And there's a lot of, I guess, what people would look at as failure. But we teach ourselves and remind ourselves that we're not called on to be successful. We're just required to be faithful. We just need to be there, to be dependable, to be available. And when we can do that, then good things start to happen with the kids that we're working through.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're totally building bridges. You know, where these kids so many times in their lives, they've, you know, run up against wall after wall after wall and, you know, loss after loss after loss. And they come to a place of no hope or desperation. And then they act out in some form or fashion, precedes them, you know, having to go into a detention type facility. And, you know, a lot of the hope is gone. And like you said, that trust issue is huge for them. And so when they see individuals such as yourself who are committed and willing to show up week after week to pour into their lives and to help them rebuild their lives, it's got to be incredibly, well, rewarding. I can totally hear it in the energy of your voice. You know, I can see you smiling just, you know, over our radio waves here, just going, yeah, I totally get it. I'm so bought in with the process that you are doing. You know, I am a daughter, actually, of a man who benefited greatly from the Big Brothers and Big Sisters Association. And
nice.
My adoptive father, he actually had a big brother when he was a child, along with his two siblings, and, you know, dramatically changed his life. And, you know, having someone who is committed to you and to your success and to your forward movement in life is a gift that we can't even put a price or even a label on it. It's just absolutely a priceless gift that you give these young men and the other volunteers down there in Albuquerque who are currently serving in this way. And so, you know, as on a real personal note, you know, my father had that experience along with his brothers. They remained in contact for many years following their relationship. And, you know, my dad was an amazing man. He has passed away now several years from cancer. But I know that when he walked into our family, Steve, he carried the skills that he learned in his younger years and his compassion and his ability to be all-inclusive from that relationship that he spoke about, because he married my mom, who had four children, you know, that she was raising, and he just welcomed us and, you know, adopted us and loved on us as his own. And I think a lot of that stemmed from the unconditional love that he gained within the programs that he was allowed to experience as a youth growing up.
Yes, and he took that and he passed it on. You know, I love the phrase "pay it forward," and that's mm-hmm. what he did in your life, and through him doing that in yours, you're doing it with others. We're adoptive parents. Rose and I fostered when we first married, and one of our four children is adopted. We had a couple of attempts that didn't come to fruition, that just about broke our hearts. But adoption and fostering is another area. You asked earlier about, you know, well, if we're getting poked, what can we do? Gosh, there is such a huge need for foster parents here in New Mexico, such a huge need for adoptive families. We have about 200 to 300 perfectly healthy children who are not newborns, between the ages of 6 and 8 and 18, who don't have parents. And they would love a forever family. They would love the experience that you just described, Leanne, to have a mom and dad, or even a single mom or a single dad, come into their life and get to know them, and through CYFD, become their adoptive parents. It happens all the time. I've been very blessed through a number of organizations. One is the Heart Gallery, that matches up these older kids who are hoping for forever families with potential adoptive parents. And I tell you, there's nothing that breaks my heart more than seeing a kid who's been in a foster family situation all of his life age out of the system at 18 and head off into the world without a mom or a dad.
Right, right. You know, it is. It's tragic. I also have been a foster mom in the past. As well as being an adoptee, I've also been a foster mom and been privileged. I've had the privilege of helping to connect two children to their forever families. One went to his grandfather, biological grandfather. Super cool experience to be able to walk that journey with that little guy. And then another gal that we had the privilege of having in our home is now with her forever family. Because of circumstances beyond these kiddos' control, their first families were unable to
right.
continue to care for them. And, you know, all of these kids, these 200 to 300 kiddos here, right here in New Mexico, that our children in waiting is, you know, it's a tremendous problem in our society as well as our state, that these kids are waiting, and we don't want them to have to age out of the system, because everybody wants that connection. We desire it. We cry at night for it, right? It keeps those kids up at night wondering why they're in the situation that they're in.
We all need somebody else that we feel like we have a permanent connection with. And we take it for granted. And, you know, what I find is that I, by nature, want to put it off, just like I did with the jail ministry. I told you it took me 2 years to take the step, and my only mm-hmm. regret is that I didn't do it sooner. The same with becoming an adoptive parent. That's had, you mm-hmm. know, it's had some trials and some tribulations. It's not an easy thing, but gosh, it's such a blessing. And, you know, we get busy in our lives, and, well, we say, I'll do that once I finish this, or once I get to this stage. Well, I would just ask people to really stop and to think about it and to pray about it and to see if there's not some way that we can take that tiny first step now. All of these things take some commitment, and they take some time. But if we can just take that teeny tiny first step, just call to see what's the training like. You can call LifeQuest and see. As a matter of fact, they have a couple of training sessions for volunteers coming up, and they'll tell you about the simple background check that you have to go through and the 3 or 4 hours of training that you need to go through to do that. If you're interested in being a foster parent or perhaps adopting or just want to learn about it, just making that call can be the beginning of not just changing somebody else's life, but profoundly impacting your life in ways that you're really going to benefit from. But nothing ever happens if you don't at least take some action and set your mind that you're going to take that first step.
Absolutely. And sometimes they, you know, I like to tell the folks that I work with and tell myself this every day, the hardest step is the first step out the door. And, you know, and that's the hardest one, is making that first call or deciding, you know, in your heart of hearts to pay attention to the areas in your life that are being poked by a message that you hear, you know, coming either across your airwaves or over, you know, something going on the television, or perhaps when you are at church or you're at a community event and you start to hear about these different opportunities that we really can make a difference in the lives of another. And like you said, you know, the impact that it has on your own individual life is absolutely incredible. And, you know, something else that you said, Steve, that just keeps poking me is when you shared at the beginning of our conversation or kind of midway through that there are faith-based organizations that do this and there are secular organizations that do this. And how cool would it be, you know, if I could wave my magic wand, it would be that two communities, the faith-based communities and the secular communities, come together and have a united vision instead of a divided vision when it comes to ministering and finding forever families for these kiddos and really providing the education needed so the community at large is not coming from a place of fear when they look at the needs that are surrounding them.
Sure.
So I would love to hear your thoughts on that, and then if you could wave your magic wand and make something happen within this arena, what would that look like?
Well, first of all, on the first part of your comment, it is happening. It happens all the time. I mean, even the government, which has to be very careful with faith-based programs, working hand in hand with those of us that are coming from a faith background. Over at CYFD, many of us go in as chaplains. Many of us go in openly to teach Bible studies, but there are also programs that we do over there and needs that we have that are coming from a secular situation. We need skilled adults to volunteer to go in and teach lifestyle classes, life skills classes, excuse me, to these young men and women so that when they do get released, that they know how to fill out a job application, how to get to work, how to open a checking account, these basic things that so many take for granted. We're involved, my church at New Covenant here in Albuquerque is involved with a couple of different schools within the public school system that do what they call buddy packs or weekend backpacks. We have found that in a lot of the schools, there are kids who qualify for the free lunches and breakfasts that are served at the schools, but that many of these kids eat nothing from Friday's lunch until Monday morning's breakfast when they go home. So as a result, some teachers have gotten together with some local churches. The churches go to their congregation and ask everybody to bring some non-perishable food items and some snacks and things like that. And these kids bring their backpacks to school on Monday, and on Friday they're filled with goodies and food and cans of tuna and soup and some nice little healthy treats that help them get through the week. So the thing that you're talking about is happening more and more. There doesn't have to be a divide between the church and the general community, particularly the Christian community. If we can come across as just wanting to be the hands and feet of Jesus, not being judgmental of those who don't believe the same way that we do, and we can learn to work within the required guidelines of schools or government organizations, there are tons and tons of things that can and are starting to happen. As far as the magic wand thing,
yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean, my biggest thing right now is just getting people from all walks of life to soften up the conversation, whether it be politics or faith, issues within the community, like things that have been making a lot of the news lately with the Albuquerque Police Department and some of the community. I would just love to get back to the days when we could sit down with opposing opinions, but have fruitful conversations, and instead of calling names and casting accusations in saying, hey, you're over here and I'm over there, but we pretty much want the same thing. How can we work together to achieve some of these things in the middle that we could possibly agree on?
Oh, beautiful. You know, that state of being curious. Right, coming from a real place of curiosity and non-judgment. I totally hear that coming through on what you're saying. And, you know, one phrase that I like to talk to my arena, the areas, the people that I run with and the clients that I work with within my coaching community is the beautiful question of help me to understand. And, you know, when we can apply that question, whether we're talking to youth in detention, someone who's hesitant about volunteering or opening up their home, their heart, and their family to someone who needs it so desperately, is to help, you know, to ask that question, help me to understand what challenges you're currently facing, and not to be afraid of the answer. I loved it, Steve, when you shared about softening the conversation. You know, that's going to be my big takeaway, I think, from our conversation today here on Life Coach Radio Network, Steve, is the fact that we can soften our conversation. And we can be the change agents that do that. It all starts with us of having that little bit of awareness, a tremendous amount of prayer and commitment to make a difference. Because why not now? You know, what are we waiting for, Steve? What, you know, are we waiting for our neighbor or the person down the street, or the teacher at the high school to start making the changes that need to happen? And, you know, I kind of keep saying my year 2014 is the time is now to start doing some things that are shaking stuff up. You know, that was my motivation of starting this radio program here on Life Coach Radio Network, Steve, was to really encourage and highlight those people who are making a difference, and to keep myself encouraged to continue to make a difference and to provide a voice for the voiceless, basically, within our world. And, wow, like, why not now?
Well, and I love that, Leanne. I'm the men's ministry pastor over here at New Covenant, and the men's group that I started, our motto is, if not now, when. And, you know, it's exactly what you just said. And, you know, in talking about softening the conversation, Facebook has just turned into such a thing for me. And, you know, when I first got on, I found myself in big arguments, and, it was so frustrating, but I've learned to control my thoughts and to be much more careful about the things that I say. And it's amazing to me what a ministry Facebook has become. Between my two pages, I'm somewhere around 17,000 people right now, and it's this community that's, talk about diversity. I mean, people all over the country, a lot of people from other nations. I was on with a lady from Germany this morning that I've become friends with, but a wide variety of political opinions and a huge array of religious beliefs and different family backgrounds. But the past year and a half, I've been really focusing on, we're not going to call names, and we're not going to, if somebody's going to come on and needs to get nasty, then we're just going to block that from this conversation. Not that it has to be something that I agree with, but just that it has to be said in a way so that it furthers the discussion and all draws us, hopefully step by step, a little closer to some solutions. Now, compromise can be bad, you can't give up your basic beliefs. You don't, if something is based in truth and in fact, and it's deeply felt by you, I'm not saying you need to compromise your beliefs, but there is a lot of compromise that can be made in the way that we deal with other people without compromising who we are and what we believe. And I believe that it's only when we can start to do that through a wider swath of the community that we're going to make any progress, because the easiest thing in the world is to point fingers and to say negative things about people and to, you know, to highlight the problem but not do a darn thing to fix it.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I think bringing dignity back into conversation is so huge, and that curiosity and non-judgment, you know, that we're talking about really does help to do that. I mean, you wouldn't have 17,000 people interacting with you if you weren't, Steve, providing a safe place for them. And so congratulations on that. And, you know, I'm all about giving people their voice. You know, for so many of us, our voices, we have either voluntarily given them away, they have been, you know, we've had somebody put a gag order on us because they didn't like what we said or the questions that we were asking. Right? Different things can happen, but when we can provide a safe place for each person to really speak their truth, it's huge. You know, so much of the work that I do in my coaching practice, Steve, is really a lot of values work. It's helping people understand what they value most in life and really challenge them on whether or not they're living those values. Because what tends to come up for a lot of people, and I'm sure you probably see this, when you're working with the youth and working with the men in your ministries, is that they haven't oftentimes even given themselves some time to think about what's really important to them, or so many people in their world have told them what should be important to them. And instead of really digging deep into their core and figuring out who it is that they were created to be, you know, that's a huge stumbling block for so many, because oftentimes when we act out at any level, when we get very angry or frustrated, it's oftentimes because our values are being stomped upon. And sometimes we don't even know what those values are, and then we're not very clear on how to communicate those in a way that honors ourselves as well as the people that we're talking to. And so it really sounds like within the ministries that you have the privilege of working with, that you are really trying to bring that dignity back to everybody's voice and their current situation.
And I really liked what you said a while ago about, you know, making an effort to understand the other side of the issue. We recently had a very big long discussion, and it continues at times on Facebook, about the situation with the Albuquerque Police Department and some of the community who has felt abused and mistreated. And I came out strongly in support of the police officers in general, saying that there have been some things that have been wrong, but let's treat all of them with respect. They're human beings. They put their lives on the line. They have families. They deserve our respect. Well, one of the people that lashed out against me was so angry that he said some things that I actually felt physically threatened. And my first response was to just block him, to just shut him off. And I made, you know, I made a couple of replies online on the page, and then something hit me, and I went behind the scenes, and I sent him a couple of private messages. And the first one or two of them even made him more angry, and I could just tell he was just raging, but something just kept asking me, where is this guy's anger coming from? And I asked him several times, what are you so angry about? And about the third time, he finally said, I'm a vet with PTSD, and I can easily lose control of my actions, he said, and I'm afraid that that's going to happen out in public and that a police officer is going to shoot me. And boom, all of a sudden, I understood where he was coming from. And I was able to tell him, these officers do not want to shoot anybody. And if you can just relax and we can talk about this. And I mean, it just totally changed from this very confrontational thing where I felt physically threatened by this guy to here we are 3 weeks later, and we're friends, and we exchange private messages. I've been able to encourage him and to put him in contact with a vet who himself had PTSD for 25 years and is now an expert and travels the world dealing with vets who are struggling with that. And so it's like, whew, I'm an old man, but I'm still learning things. I'm still figuring it out. And lo and behold, it was through the Facebook community that God pointed this out to me. And I feel like I benefited more from it than he did.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you provided a connection for him in a safe place. And, you know, you let go of some of that fear, right, of connecting. And, you know, you were of such service to him. And in the process, that desire and curiosity that you had allowed you an opportunity to learn something new. How cool is that? You know, we are never too old to learn. And, you know, I was really in the middle of the night back about a month ago. I really felt like God kind of gave me a word in the middle of the night, and I woke up kind of freaked out, and I'll share that word with you. I haven't shared it with many. Didn't know that would come out on this conversation, but I think it's really appropriate right now. But the word that I was given was opportunity. And, you know, it's one, you know, when we can walk into a situation, whether it be KOB, whether it be my coaching practice here in Los Alamos dealing with the community here, whether it be detention center with the youth, any health and family services within anybody's community, when we can walk in with an open heart to welcome the opportunity that could be there for us, the potential to have our lives dramatically impacted and changed forever, as well as those people who we have the privilege of journeying life with, is priceless. Absolutely.
That's
priceless.
Good. Very good.
Yeah, kind of crazy. Well, Steve, my goodness, it is almost at the top of the hour, and, you know, I am blown away by how quickly my shows always seem to go by fast, but I didn't even break for our commercial announcement, and so I just want to encourage our listeners, if you want to know more about what's happening here on Life Coach Radio Network or any of our three channels, we do have a Facebook that you can go to, Life Coach Radio Network, as well as we are online, lifecoachradionetworks.com, that you can visit and learn more about our coaches there, the different programs that we offer, and our current radio listings. And also you can check the blog talk site and find out more about the upcoming shows that we have here on Life Coach Radio Network. I, myself, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach, will be on again on Thursday, May 1st at noon, and I will have the privilege of interviewing Miss Becky Wright, and she is a Christian recording artist that you don't want to miss. She is also a woman whose heart is for impact, as mine is in this culture and in the world that we live in right now. And I encourage you to join us for that. And all of our shows on Life Coach Radio Network are archived for you. We are on iTunes, so we can be downloaded podcast-wise there, as well as on our individual websites. And most of us have it on our Facebook pages as well. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Twitter. And so I encourage you to connect with me on one of those social medias. I, too, like Steve, have found that social media is a great way to meet others, to connect, and to start to make the changes in this world that we want to see. And so I encourage you to reach out. Also, you can reach me at 505-412-1817. I am a local life and leadership coach here in Los Alamos, very, very committed to impact and help others to fully live the life they were created to live and live the legacy today they want to leave for tomorrow. And so, Steve, I do just want to thank you so much for joining me here on Life Coach Radio Network. And if somebody would like to get in touch with you, learn more about the ministries and programs that you're involved in, how can they go ahead and make contact with you?
My email at the TV station is probably the easiest. It's first initial, last name. So S Stucker at KOB.com. I have two Facebook pages. Steve Stucker, New Mexico Weatherman is a place where you can always connect, and you can leave a private message there, and I'll be glad to get in touch and hook you up with the folks who might be best to point you in the direction of your interests.
Perfect. Oh, thank you so much. And any closing thoughts for all of us as we head into our Easter weekend?
Well, just thank you for the time today. I've enjoyed it and appreciate some of the things that you said. I have to write down opportunity and figure out how to spell it and, most importantly, how to use it. But I just pray that everybody will take some time in the next couple of days to think about what these days represent and to get out there and to make the most of the limited time that we have left in this world, because it goes by quick. But, man, there's so much that needs to be done. And once we get out and do it, life's a blast.
Oh, I just so echo that. And on that note, my friend, I look forward to seeing you on KOB as well as at the Balloon Fiesta this year. I hope to make it down again. And thank you again so much for spending time with us here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And keep walking your talk, Steve. And we will keep watching and being encouraged by you.
Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you.